Today's scripture reading is from Romans 12, verses 14 through 21. Romans 12, 14 through 21. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with them who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceable with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Well, thank you, Elijah. Today we're dealing with enemies, and I picked the meanest person I could think of to read scripture today. He's actually one of the nicest people I know, and appreciate him very much. Thank you for your prayers for us as we had opportunity to go to South Carolina, to Myrtle Beach, and just enjoy the sun and relaxing time together and away. But it is always good to be back, and enjoyed listening to Pastor Jason's message and the cry, the desire for unity. We can always hear more and more about that. That is just a good calling on our lives. And as we come to this passage of Scripture, we deal with, as I mentioned, we're dealing with enemies. We're God's been working down through with us after we've had all that we've had, and now he's dealing with enemies. And now the thing that I want to kind of put out to you or share with you is sometimes people that we love can turn into something that you can be angry at this person that you love dearly, a person that's been a friend. This can happen. And so I thought of a scene from the Andy Griffith Show, and what's happening in this scene to lead up to it is Opie's met a new friend who is called Trey, and he knows all these things about him, and Trey just moved into town, and so now he is talking with Andy and Barney about all these facts about Trey. Trey doesn't even get a word in edgewise because Opie is so excited. And then we move from that scene into what we're going to see right now. Take a look.
You'll see a guy tomorrow.
I'm in basketball. Can Trey come fishing with us on Saturday? And can he stay at our house tonight?
Well, it's all right with me. But you'll have to find out if it's all right with his mother and me.
She's thankful. Thanks, sir, Taylor.
Now remember, you got to ask Trey's mother and me if it's all right.
We don't need his fault. They said we had to ask you.
That's what I call two real buddies. Oh, I see that.
Yeah.
You know, it's the friendship you start earning in life, and I'm going to be your last. Thank you again. I'm going to be your man again. Since fourth grade.
Four grade.
Yeah. Miss Moran.
Oh, Miss Moran. That's right. Well, I'm jumping out of the bar.
Well, that's what makes friendships are good, the best of time. I couldn't wish them two boys anything better than that they should become as close friends as you and me. Just like that, right?
Right.
Now, mind you, I'm not saying we have to have sex. Not for 1 minute am I saying that. You wouldn't be human for this. The main thing is that we can laugh off any kind of little tips that pop up now. Just laugh and laugh off and dismiss it. Because.
Right. Oh, my word.
Like when that pretty girl, Mrs. Mayberry, is queen of the St. Apricot Festival. I thought I was going to be her escort and said, you better Pacific line. You better remember that.
Oh, yeah. You don't even got that little mess up.
Well, that's all I got, a little mess up. And two other girls, a little mix up like that, especially when there's a pretty girl involved. She was a blown friendship sky high. Boo! Not you to me.
Yeah, I never forgot all about that.
Oh, I
did. I did too. Anyway, it was years ago.
June 23rd. Not that I'd go pick it up and bring my back in the drinks. I'd do the rest of that.
I agree.
That's all we got. Thing in the past. Wiped right out of my mind.
Yeah.
You want to do another word?
Yeah. That's the best word.
Stuff, the classics. So we're at the beach, and this umbrella is not cooperating at all. You know how you get that thing, you screw into the sand, and you're putting the umbrella in there, and that thing's blowing all over the place. And so I'm trying to push down, and my wife says to me, well, use your weight. I said, hello? And she said it in such a way that I go, I'm trying. And you, I saw a look at her face and it's like, oh man, we're on vacation. So at a certain point, she gets up and walks over to the shore. And I'm just sitting there and I'm watching her walk. And I'm going, she's... And then she goes into the water. And I close my eyes for a little bit and I'm just laying there. Open them up again, and I look out, and there's these three ladies in the way, and I'm trying to look, is my wife still out in the water there? I'm thinking in my mind, these three ladies, would you move out of the way? I want to see them. I look over there, and she's not in the water. And I just go over there, and I go into the water, and I'm looking around, and a million thoughts are going through my mind. You know, did a shark get her? I don't see her. And I don't know if you've ever had this happen where your mind just races. You got all these different things. And she's nowhere. I'm yelling, Kim, and nothing. And it's just the water. And I'm going, is her body going to come in? I mean, all these different things. I know you're like, I want to laugh, but it's not that funny. And I'm like, going, what's the deal here? And then all the thoughts, man, the last thing I said to my wife, I was angry with her. And I had this whole thing figured out. Okay, I got to do this, and I got to do that, I'm scared. I don't know. Who do I call? I call the cops. And also, and I'm looking up and down the beach, and I'm not seeing her. I'm going, man. And then I go out in the water again. Then I go up to my mother-in-law, who, by the way, saw her come out of the water and go for a walk. But I say, man, I don't know where Kim is. And I went out in the water there, and I can't find her. Where's she? She goes, really? Where is she? So I go back out in the water again, like I'm going to do something. Like magically, I'm going to, find, And then I look, and there she is, coming down the beach. And I just go make my way, determined to go see her, and just give her a hug. You're okay? And she goes, yeah, I'm fine. Oh, I was scared. All these thoughts went through my mind. And I was so angry. But then the reality of something that could have happened went through my mind. And all of that went away. And then I come back to my mother-in-law. She said, oh, yeah, I saw her go for a walk. I love my mother-in-law. I love my mother. But it was a reminder to me, as I was looking at this passage of Scripture, that sometimes people that you love, it can turn on a dime. People that are in your household, people that you have spent years with, have spent this time with, it can turn. And so you might look at this passage of Scripture and go, I've got no enemies, I've got nobody, but there are times of animosity. And so this Scripture passage is trying to make this Christian stuff real. I mean, we had a great time. It's just a great time, us three being able to just spend that time and look at the creation of God and to talk about old stories and things along that line. So I want to pray, and then I want to allow the Lord to use this passage of Scripture to teach us what we need to learn. Let's pray. Father, as we come to this passage of Scripture, there's so many things that You're calling us, and we look at it, and this is an impossible assignment. This is an assignment that, left to ourselves, God, we cannot do this. We cannot do this. So God, we're asking for Your help this morning. We're asking for supernatural ability. And when it's all said and done, we'll actually shock ourselves with what You're doing in our lives. Even as Brother Don was sharing about Habakkuk, each of us has our time with You, our time on this earth, our time where You placed us, and You called each of us as brothers and sisters in Christ to walk with You, to follow You. And so, Father, would You help us this morning with all of this? And we give it to You, trusting You. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's review again. We've had different ways of going down through what we've been doing with the book of Romans. But this could be also divided into four sections, four great sections here in the book of Romans. First, we saw the wrath of God. In that first and second chapter, we saw the wrath of God. And then secondly, as we move from that, then we saw the grace of God. And then when we got to 9, 10, and 11, we saw the plan of God. And now, where we're at is the will of God. What God has willed for us to do. How God desires us to walk with Him. And you saw at the beginning of chapter 12, you saw where He was saying to us that we need to present our bodies as living sacrifices, and that our minds need to be changed We can't be conformed to this world anymore. We have to be transformed. And that comes through the renewing of our mind. And then we move from that, and he goes into what we as brothers and sisters in the church need to do. We need to use the giftedness that we've been given. Each and every one of you that are children of God, you've been given a gift. And that's why at the beginning of this year, we did a time through the spiritual gifts so that you would see, oh, this is how I'm wired. This is what I'm doing. And this is what God wants me to do in the bride of Christ, in the body of Christ. How I'm supposed to use my gifts, not for me, but for you and for one another. And then he talks to us about how we should be with one another. And so he's talking about how we should abhor evil and cling to what is good. And now he doesn't leave it just there, because we're like, oh, it's all puppy dogs and rainbows. He goes, no, actually, there's some interesting people that are going to be in your life. I'm in a place in your path. And that's why getting passages of scripture like this, and there were 2 weeks between my preaching, and as I'm preparing for this, I'm thinking, okay, God's going to start bringing people across my path that are going to test this to make me go, okay, big boy, okay, Christian, let's see how you handle this thing. And you're a little more prepared because you're reading it over. But you can, you heard about me with the sand umbrella. It's not even an enemy of mine in the reaction. And so he says that love is the answer here. And this is nothing new with Paul. He probably looked back at Jesus and Jesus' words here. Look at this in Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, look at this, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And in Luke 6, beginning at verse 27, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. So think about how counterculture that is. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those, this is tough stuff, listen to this. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And that's just how it is. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. You realize how high a calling that is? And so in my lifetime, I've had people that don't like me. I've had people that have written me letters telling me off. The phone calls that I have received sometimes, and I'm not trying to break out the violin right now. I'm just telling you, it's the price of doing ministry. Yeah. That's what happens as we walk with God. I never want to hurt anybody. I'm serious. I cannot think. There have been times where somebody will do something and I'll react. But I don't wake up in the morning and go, how can I hurt these people? And yet I've had people over the years. Have I told you some of the stories? In fact, I'll tell you one right now. Had a lady that was upset. Her and her husband got upset about something, and they left the church. Don't try to figure out who I'm talking about, okay? This is a while back. Last week. No, I'm kidding. And she leaves. And by the way, her husband would regularly try to educate me on how I need to be a better leader. He'd sit down with me, and so I'd sit, and I can always learn. You know, this guy would sit down, and he goes, you need to do this, and you need to do this. And, okay. And by the way, some of the things, good stuff. But something happened, they got upset, they leave. I hear about it. I try to constantly contact somebody that hasn't, that isn't coming, and I'm trying to find out, hey, what's wrong? And they got upset about something. I don't want to go into that, but they got upset about something. And I'm sitting in their living room, and I'm looking at them, and she looks at me and says this, I was so mad at you. You made me eat 2 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And I look at her, I'm thinking, I don't remember doing this. And I look at over to leadership training guru. I didn't do that, by the way. I'm real cool with you guys. But it was one of those things like, seriously? All this time you're lecturing me on how to be a leader, and this is your wife, and this is how she's responding to me? Yeah. Sound effects are awesome today. But, and so you might go, really? I could go on, but that stuff happens. And I still love them, and I still want the best for them. And I could go on to other things that some of you have experienced with me with different individuals. Sometimes those fences are mended, and sometimes they are not. But guess what? Every time I see them out and about, I'm going to hug them if they want to hug me. I'm going to wave to them. I'm not going to avoid them. Because the calling of God on my life is to love people. And I'm telling you something. There have been so many great things that have happened over the years that have proven that this stuff is true. That I want to say to you, reacting to them in a Clint Eastwood, Dirty Harry, Arnold Schwarzenegger, I forgot the movie. Anyways, those ways, it seems like it's the kind of thing that you want to do, but I'm going to say to you, it is not good. It is not the calling on our lives. And so I just want to give to you and say to you, go with God on this. There's been so many times that I've walked away from something and said something that was smart alecky or in a way that was cutting because I wanted to get back at somebody. And I've regretted those conversations. But the times where he's kept the peace, kept me from saying those things, I can go, thank you, God, because everything in me wanted to go off on that person. And so we come to this passage of Scripture here, and he hits us right between the eyes. So point number one, if you're taking notes, it's on the back of your bulletin there. Match their moods. Match their moods. Good verses 14 and the beginning of 15. Bless those who persecute you. So he's talking about what Christ had said. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Barnhouse, Donald J. Barnhouse, talking about it, he explains that we are not asking God to prosper one's evil ways. He's saying we are to pray that God will bring that person to repentance so that God can bless them. I would encourage you, and God has helped me with this, there are people probably in your life right now that you may have to drive by their house or you have to drive by something that will remind you of them. I want to encourage you that you would pray for that person as opposed to grudging them in your brain. That you would say, God, I want you to bless them how you could bless them in the best way possible. And if I never get a phone call saying, oh, I'm so sorry, or could we work this out, that it's okay. Although it's really hard. And the reason that I say that, and I brought up that story at the beginning of my wife, who I love, some of you may even have that tension going on with family. And it's brutal. and it's weighing on you. And I want you to know that God wants to work in our lives. And I have no control over how that person is going to react. But I have a little bit of control. Sometimes I think, oh, you have control of me. Oh, brother. I got a little bit of control over what, how I'm responding to them. Guy, even on the plane yesterday as I was heading home, something happened where he had to educate me on the plane rules for our aisle there. Because he's the sheriff of that section. And he had to say some stuff, and boy, there was some stuff I wanted to say to that guy. But I had to preach this, so I didn't want to have to come here and... Bible. Ugh. But look at this. He says this, verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Now, I don't know about you, but the second one, I think, is easier than the first one. Like if somebody's crying about something, and it's weighing on their heart, I could put my arm around them, and this is in my flesh, I could put my arm around them in my mind, and I'm not doing this, so next time something happens to you, and you put, oh, you're doing that thing you said in church. But I could put my arm around them and pray with them and stuff, but I'm not going through that thing. I get to walk away from them, or I get, you know, say, but when I am walking with God, my heart is so broken over what they're experiencing. And that God would give me the sympathy and the empathy as, and some of you, I watch you and how you handle, you, God has gifted you in this area. Like right away, your heart goes out. That's a gift from God. It's a spiritual gift sometimes. And don't pass that up, as God wants to use you to come alongside some people. Not feel the need to fix it, but just come alongside and be there. But that first one can be difficult. Rejoice with those who rejoice. You got this like lousy car. It's horrible. And then someone, you would not believe how God has blessed me. I got this brand new, whatever. And in your mind, oh, amen, brother. And in your mind, why don't I have one? If God was so blessing, why wouldn't he give me that too? So he says it on both sides here. I don't want you to just weep with those who weep. He starts out with, I want you to be truly happy that somebody gets something. You may never get it. But instead of saying, man, I wish I... You ever been around those people? Shut up. Just be happy for me. Wish I could. It just sucks the life out of you. Sometimes it's hard to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. How come she lucked out? How come they get that? Why does he get the big breaks? And he also says in that, weep with those who weep, he doesn't say preach to those who are weeping. He says weep with those who are weeping. Concerning those who are weeping, we don't have to preach at them or speak something profoundly. Isn't that freeing when you think about it? I don't have to fix this. I can literally come alongside somebody and it causes me to cry what they're going through. When you were gone just now, when you were going through that Habakkuk stuff and you were saying that, I was ripping my heart out because I'm thinking, that's real life. That's real life. You're asking God, what are you doing? Then he tells you and you're like, well, that wasn't the fix, God. That wasn't what I was looking for. And I know there are some of you in this room right now that are dealing with that right now. That's why the Word of God is so amazingly perfect. So don't feel the need to fix people with our wise words. Sometimes all they need is our presence. Remember, there were difficult times. I remember this. There were Wednesday nights a few years back that to show up for prayer meeting, I would show up and Ed would come alongside me. Brett Hotley would come alongside me. And all they would do is just sit next to me while I'm crying. Never forgot it. To this day, I don't forget it. Many of you have done that for me, and I'm grateful. And you didn't even say anything. You were just there. Some of you I hug and I pull away from you, and on your shoulder was drenched with my tears. You didn't say, oh, you wrinkled up this. No, you loved me. You loved us. And I want to be that. Weep with those who weep. Point number two, mind our own manners. Mind our own manners. Look at verse 16. Live in harmony with one another. Boy, just listen to that word harmony. You think about that. You ever listen to something and there's discord? And you're like, something's wrong here. You're listening, it just doesn't. There's something wrong. But when something is in harmony, it's just, oh, this is beautiful. And God says, I want you to live in harmony with one another. I want the different sounds to blend together in a beautiful way. Do not be haughty. Do not be proud. But associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. So as experienced churchgoers, we know that there are Christian congregations that can be havens of strife. And Paul fears that these Roman readers, this is what they're going to start doing. And so he's got to put in the word here, I want you to love. And I want you to love because that makes living in harmony with one another possible. Granted, sometimes divisions have to be endured and addressed and transcended. Sometimes you have to work through things. There has to be a talk or a discussion or sometimes an argument. But your prayer is that you would allow the Lord to use you in such a way that you would minister. And so the gospel in your life should eliminate, or at least minimize, haughty attitudes. The fact that God loved me the way I am, I'm a mess, and He loves me. And those of perceived higher standing will take pains to associate with the lowly. We cannot be respecters of people. What I mean by that is we can't look for the next person. As we're shaking hands, we're looking around the room, and I can move on. I'm not a politician. I move on to the next bigger individual in status. That person is important. And that we would be known as a church that is loving to all types of people. That person has prominence, so we're going to spend time with them. That's so not in the Bible. That's what marks us as different. You see, so many of these things, they're alien to how we naturally are. I cannot play up to certain kinds of people. I can't plan my strategy to reach the elite level. When I come to church, it isn't about becoming a person that is a bigger deal than somebody else. There's always somebody bigger than us. Well, if I can just be this big fish in this little pond, that somehow it's important. It's not. Look at how Jesus is God. Look how He handled things. Philippians 2. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. You see how counterculture that is? Everything in America seems to be my rights, what I want. And he's saying, no, we are not to be that way. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours. We have this in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, the biggest deal, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's our model. And how do I do it? Because I get the mind of Christ. He helps me. Then he gets the glory. And then James 2, 1 through 4. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Boy, that's convicting. Last point. Mark these methods. Mark these methods. Look at verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. The word order here stresses that to no one should a believer repay evil with evil. Seeking revenge, perhaps discreetly. You could find ways to discreetly seek revenge. It could be tempting. Consider those who say, I don't get mad, I get even. You ever heard that one? But this is not something that should ever be said in the household of faith. Give thought suggests anticipating trying situations and thinking in advance ways to respond that onlookers would recognize as large-hearted, not petty, or selfishly vindictive. See, what comes out sometimes as we head into the day is naturally what's in us. But I remember recently we've been working through a book called Disciplines of a Godly Man in our elders and deacons meetings. And we were talking about just wanting to be the best that we could be in different areas. And one of the gentlemen was sharing how he would pray as he would head home. He was tired. He had had an interesting day. And as he's heading home, he's praying that, Father, as I walk through the door, I'd ask you to help me with my responses to my kids. I don't know about how many times I didn't pray that prayer, and I'd walk through the door, and you react. And you love these people. You love them. But you would react because it was fleshy and it was how you were feeling and you were tired. But to pray, God, you got to help me because I want to respond well. I want to be an encourager to those that I'm coming in contact with. And to remember as I'm heading home that I would be just that. And then just a quick thing to throw at you. If you drop the ball, be quick to ask forgiveness. And those of you that have been hurt and wronged, that you'd be willing to give it. Giving and receiving so much to that thing in our relationships. verse 18. If possible, I love that God is so real with this verse. If possible, he gives you that reality there. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Because he knows there's times it isn't possible. You could be doing everything right, and that guy's still going to be a jerk. She's still going to be a piece of work. But if possible, as far as it depends on you, we should do everything possible to be at peace with others. Won't always happen, but the response, don't do things based on if I do this, then this will benefit me. You do it because of what God's done in your life. Verse 19, beloved, I love that he keeps sharing these familial, loving things. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. I don't want you going to try to get vengeance. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So if somebody's done you wrong, don't plan out how to get them back. Vengeance is the Lord's department. Our responsibility is to love. By the way, he's way better at it. Way better. These last two verses. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Have you ever done this? Have you ever, and I'm asking you to raise your hands, because that would be kind of proud, all right? Have you ever done that where you, and God gave you the ability to do that? For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now you hear that, and it's like, what is up with that? Well, in Paul's day, when a fire went out in a home, it was difficult to reignite it. Therefore, if someone's fire went out, the women sometimes would carry live coals in these clay jars upon their heads, and they would give that to the person who had no fire. The implication here is not of burning one's enemy, but of warming him in order to ultimately lead them toward the kingdom. He says that last verse, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Those are good words. Listening to a preacher describing this story, and he actually had this individual come up to him after he had preached this, and he said, I got to tell you a story. And so I want to share this story with you because I thought it was quite entertaining. This guy says, I'm getting on a plane, and this plane is one of those who has three seats here and three seats here and three on the side. And it's one of those great big old DC whatevers. And I came in a little bit late, and there's my seat, and it's the only seat that I can tell on this flight. So it's got an empty seat next to it, and I thought, hallelujah! But there's a guy in my seat because he wanted to be in that seat, and he didn't want to have anybody next to him. And this guy is a young guy, and he's got like a $1,500 Armani suit, and he had a little laptop, and he's got this yuppie look to him. And immediately this guy said, I didn't like him. And he said, I saw him in my seat. And I said, excuse me, sir, you got my seat here. And he says, yeah, but I ain't moving. I said, I beg your pardon? I ain't moving. And it was because his seat was over across the aisle, stuck in between these other guys. I said, well, that's my seat. Well, what do? You appeal to the powers that be. So he looks at the stewardess. This guy who's telling the story, he looks at the stewardess. He's got my seat. She looks at the ticket. I said, well, it's been a long day in the cabin. It's late taking off. The plane's late taking off. And so the stewardess looks at him, and she says, she looks tired. She's been up since 4 a.m. Sir, could you just please sit in this seat and let's be off? And so the guy that got the seat, he won. This other guy has to go and sit between these other two guys. But always happens when you're thinking that you're about to take off. There's that seat that's empty next to you. And the last moment before they shut the door, here comes this mother with this little two-year-old kid. And they sat down, this kid, he says, was as talkative as Daffy Duck. Yes, yammering about everything. Hey, mister, why do you got that laptop? You know the computer? I'm not a computer. So he folds up next to this kid. He said that kid talked for 3 solid hours right next to that guy. He said, this guy just sat there between the other two guys, and he's just enjoying the flight. He's looking over. He's just loving it. Well, this guy's got this little girl just yammering like crazy right in his ear. He said they got ready to land, and everybody on the plane noticed that all of a sudden this little girl quit talking. She just got silent. It was like everybody just looked at her at the same time. And he said she was as white as a sheet. She was air sick. Big time air sick. And he said it was like one of those slow motion movie deals, you know. No, he said this little girl just puked, baby girl puke, all over this guy's Armani suit, all over his expensive tie, all over his hairdo, all over his laptop. Just sprayed him. And it was horrible. The mother's apologetic. They land, came back, tried to clean up. He gets up in a huff and gets off the plane. Stormed off, and he said, I was getting ready to go over. This guy's that's telling the story. I was getting ready to over to leave, and the stewardess caught his eye at the front of the plane. She stood like this. Just wait. So I sat down, let everybody go. Said I walked out, last one. She said the stewardess was waiting for me with a bottle of champagne and 2 glasses. He said, she and I toasted the righteousness of God. So when you think that you can plan out vengeance better, you don't know when people leave you what they're dealing with. You know what people carry. But the calling on your life and mine is to trust Him for the outcome. I guarantee you, brother or sister in Christ, it's got to be God in you. And as you obey Him, as you follow Him, it is such a better way. So I just said this, we're not writing sitcoms. We're not writers for situation comedies. We are Christians. Even with those that are in our households that we love dearly. I would never be like that way with my wife. I would never be that way with my husband. Okay. Great. But there's a reason that this is in the Bible. It's a real reason that the calling of God in our lives is to say, I want you to walk with me. I want you to trust me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you so much for making your words so very practical. I'm asking you, God, today, that you would help us with this stuff. That we would be filled with the Spirit and we would respond biblically to these things given to us. Thank you for your gracious patience. And thank you, God, so much that when we were your enemies, that God commended his love for us even while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.